Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 419. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me and
Hot Tea.
Hello.
Hot Tea is in the house as well.
Hi, guys.
Good to have you, my man. Oscar Willis from the Mac Like, of course. And that's not all.
Who else is here?
Well, I can't put him on microphone because his company probably hates me. But Jose Youngs is here as well. In fact, not only is Jose Youngs here, we are in Jose Youngs' penthouse suite, the MMA fighting travel budget, apparently undergoing some renovations and doing some baller status. He's like, hey, do you guys want to come roll by my penthouse suite in the top floor of the DoubleTree?
That's it.
We couldn't turn down that invitation.
For all you aspiring MMA journalists, this is what it's like to travel. Penthouses is normal. Penthouses
it's, I mean, right normal. Away, like right out the box, just as soon as you start doing
penthouse. You're like, where should I sit? I don't know, sir, but let me send you to the penthouse first, and then we'll just take care of all that stuff later.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever sat anywhere less than business, you know.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah. never been in the middle seat of the back row of the plane, ever. Whatsoever. No, this is pretty nice. We actually got kind of like, I don't know, one of you guys found this hotel, right? We're right across the street from the host hotel, which is the Hilton. But I think it was like sold out and super expensive. And
$700 a night.
$700 a night.
I believe that's what I last checked.
Holy cow. So, yeah, obviously we weren't pulling that off. So
we all don't have that fighting budget.
Exactly. So we started booking over here. But what's crazy is we showed up and all of us got upgraded. Like to, not like a... like a small little upgrade. I mean, like a full-on condo apartment type thing. And Jose got the run of it all. We're overlooking Miami. We're up on the 42nd floor, I believe, with this beautiful like panoramic view of downtown Miami, and then the ocean off to the left over there. Jose Youngs, MMA fighting, living the good life.
There you go.
I mean, I guess when you win that award all the time, I guess this is the kind of living that you get. For those of us that are nominated and we don't get it, we have to
hey, at
slum.
Least you guys can still be nominated. I'm fucking bad from even getting that much.
it's an amazing experience, I tell you.
It was that one time.
I did, open bar,
and then it's all over.
But for the rest of your life, you will always be award nominated.
That's right.
They can't take that away
from
you.
It's like once a champ, always a champ. That's right. You know what I mean? Once an award nominated outlet.
That's exactly right.
Always an award nominated outlet.
2020 was a special year for us.
It was amazing. It was amazing. All right, well, we are here for UFC 287, and man, I don't even like want to waste any time being silly about it all. We just got done with Media Day today and just wanted to get your guys' take on this because this fight, Israel Adesanya coming back, challenging again for the title against a man that's beat him three different times, the reigning title holder, Alex Pereira. I love this fight, man. I'm torn on it, man. I think we've all been kind of like breaking it down in little bits and pieces, and today we actually got a chance to talk to Israel Adesanya, who I would say came in pretty focused.
Yep.
Came in, by the way, I feel like everything Israel Adesanya does is done with some level of thought, like there's nothing accidental.
For sure.
And I do kind of wonder, you know, he rolled in today wearing what, like a t-shirt and some shorts, and I mean, normally he's like decked out. Right now I'm sure it was all like designer stuff that's way more expensive than I could ever afford, but yeah. It was a very minimalist type approach to things.
I think he's got these – Israel has these mantras that he's sort of adopted over the last couple of fights, one of which is say less, do more. And I wonder if this is part of it. Like, you know, say less.
Dress less.
Dress down, low energy, just calm, calm, calm. I wonder. But he got an intense figure, I thought.
I thought he did too.
Yeah, because it was almost like he stuck with that say less part a lot of times because a lot of his answers were so short, and it was like you couldn't tell if he was like pissed off or if he was just – I get like the focus
thing. You
can
tell he's pissed off.
He seemed a little pissed off, and I was just like – so then I started wondering. I was like, where's his head at? Because when he came in, it was a different picture than what I got as it went on and on. You know, as we got to see him talk more, I felt more like – is he okay? Like, is his head all right? Is his head in the right place?
Okay, see, that's an interesting question because I will say this, and we kind of talked about it because Oscar was sitting next to me, so we were kind of chatting throughout the night.
Yeah, guys had the party table.
We had the table over here, but you, well, let's talk about what's happening over on your table in just a second because we were sitting here talking about it, and he did come in, and I think this is pretty commonplace for Izzy, right? Like, he comes in, he's definitely got, like, some statements. Like, he knows he's making quotes. He knows he's making sound bites, right? He knows exactly all those things. So he got those out of the way. And then he did get to a point where you could tell he's just like, I'm done. Like, he just started going, yes, no.
Well, he even said as much. I'm done with this now.
I said, I'm done talking about it. Now, But here's the other one that I was going to ask you about, because this happened over at your table, Cold Coffee, is that some, I guess like a local media dude, I guess, was his phone going off or something was happening with, he was playing some audio through his phone.
First was his computer. His computer was like, your IP is like, whatever. Like, to me, I was like, it could be a security thing, or it was like, I was like, bro, what fuck, where are you browsing to on your, like, you got one of those pop-up blockers when you try to get to the free porn site.
Right.
It was like, your IP has been tracked, but he kept doing it. If what it would have went site? Off one
what,
more time.
What sort of sites, Kenny?
Well, you know, usually the porn monkey site, pornmonkey.com.
Wow.
That's not really a site.
Okay, I was like, that we bring
I'm not
going to
give you my real site.
I mean, porn monkey, I was like, good God, what sort of shit do they watch on that?
You kind of want to Google and see if it's taken, but you kind of don't.
It's all fecal stuff. You know, it's straight fecal.
Oh, yeah, there is a pornmonkey.com if you wanted to know.
Just have a look. Yeah, I'm acting like I didn't know that. No, but no, it happened. You know, he was speaking Spanish to our guy Danny Segura. So I was like, I don't know if maybe he wasn't picking up the fact like this was awkward or whatever.
Right.
But if he would have went off one more time, I would have probably just like, bro, go to the back, because he just was clearly not aware.
So
then he dropped his phone.
I was gonna say, and then shortly afterward, he dropped something. Right, Now, dude. I'm not. I don't say all this.
I blame Miami media for that shit.
Well, okay, but here's what I say: is I'm not saying all that to just throw some dude under the bus and be like, oh, this yahoo. I'm not saying. Mm-hmm. But what was interesting was, look, we were in a big room, and it was audible, but Izzy stopped twice, right? Yeah. And was like, I'm sorry, it's very distracting. I'm trying to concentrate. And I don't know.
We said that on the door.
Was that well, the
someone
door?
The door yeah.
Somebody opened up the door and the door made noise. That was another one where I was like, okay, he's a little testy.
I thought that was interesting,
the
right?
The front, like, guy I get because it was right
talking,
there in the front.
There's a lot going on. Yeah. It's fight week.
Because it got picked up on the mics, you know, but here in the door, I was like, bro, it's the door to the room. Mm-hmm. Like, and he was just like, can we calm down in the back? And I was like, whoa, like, that's not focused to me. That's not, like, whatever. That's, like, that's a guy that's either having a rough weight cut or he's just in a pissy mood, you know?
That's what I couldn't tell. What'd you take, Oscar? Because that's what I couldn't tell. It's like, it seems so weird to be in a big press room and that stuff's, like, really
literally 50 feet. It was probably 50 feet away. That door was probably 50 feet away from him.
I think Israel is a guy who's, like, he's considers himself very thoughtful, right, and very sort of measured in what he wants to say. So I actually think he probably does like to think his way through an answer, right? So maybe there's an element of this distracting him. I also think as Israel's gotten more and more successful and his profile's risen more and more, it's quite clear that his, like, he doesn't feel anyone is entitled to his time, whether it be fans, media. He feels in control of how he wants to spend his time, and I think, you know,
well, that's a fair approach.
And it absolutely
is. It's a fair approach.
Yeah. I'll say he's a bit more merciless than most. Like, he's very publicly like, do not bother me.
A lot more so than when he first started. Because before, I think he would have rolled. It would have rolled off his chin, and we're just like, oh, ha.
So I think,
oh man, fix your shit. You know, like,
yeah. So I think he feels like, oh, no one's entitled to my time. I have to do this. But if I have to, I think he walks in already sort of, if 50-50 is neutral, he's probably 40% wants to be there, you know? And then if it's like, because I, you know, the phone, like, you're in the middle of talking and the phone's going off and then it does it again, that is like, what the fuck are you doing? So then it's 30, you know? And at that point, he's like, dude, I don't want to be here. You guys are keeping me here.
And you're not paying attention.
Yeah. You know? So I'm sure he came in already less than like, ugh. You know, because also, to be honest, and the funny thing John said about how John texted me, I feel like Izzy wants to come in, say what he wants to say, and get out. As Israel then said on the stage, I don't really want to be here.
Yep.
And honestly, I'm not trying to give myself too much credit, but Israel knows John, Jose, and I. He knows us by name. He knows us by sight. And I kind of felt today that once we had asked our bit, that was about 10 minutes in, was ready. He'd sort of done it now. It's like, those three have spoke. We've done it. And to be honest, like, after 10. Also, he got asked the same question like 3 times.
Yeah, he did.
By people not listening.
It was really bad.
So, realistically, without sounding like an arrogant dick, he probably could have cut it off after that.
Then
it's basically done there, you know?
Look, post fight in Madison Square Garden, you know, he told me, he was like, hey, you know what? I respect you, but like, I got to go. I was like, no problem with that at all. Like, maybe he should just take that approach to the pre fight. Be like, hey, guys, thank you. Appreciate your time.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't know. It was just annoying because and I think what's so interesting is because I we'll get to the breakdown of the fight itself, but it's just like, dude, this fight is so intriguing to me that I'm just looking for every little possible angle I can.
Right. It's a pretty one. Because, and we said it many times before, the best fights are the ones you can't predict what's going to happen.
Yep.
And this is one of those ones. I cannot tell you how it's going to go.
I love it.
It's 50-50 in multiple ways.
What did you think of Alex Bejeda today? Obviously, Alex uses his coach as an interpreter, you know, doesn't speak a lot of English. But I don't know. It was interesting. Like, I wouldn't say he was, like, less intense today, but it did seem like he was less, I don't know, chip on his shoulder. I guess that happens when you're champion and you've got the belt and everybody's catering to you. I don't know. It just seemed like
Seemed in a good mood, right?
You know what I mean? Not like, like I said, like chip on his shoulder or angry or I got to deal with all this.
Yeah, because I remember at MSG, he was very guarded. Right. I mean, I don't speak Portuguese, but I could tell he was much shorter. You know, he seems a bit more comfortable. Maybe it's just more reps, you know, as champ. And now he's champ. He sort of feels like, okay, well, I'll come and speak to the media. He went 28 minutes. You know, it's a long time.
It was a long time.
Which
is too long for people weight cutting. It's just ridiculous. Well, that's what I was going to get to as well.
Like, has he even started? Because I don't know if he'd be so chipper if he was halfway through a cut. You know,
how about the fact that he's sporting? a big Pikachu on the back of his jacket, right? Which he swears, somebody just gave it to him 10 minutes earlier and it wasn't planned. But all these little, you know, we talk about Izzy being very measured in approach and everything he does. I don't know. I got the feeling, Oscar, that you weren't buying into the fact that that was just a random jacket that somebody handed him.
Danny was saying it was like he paid for it. And I was like, no, I think you misheard him. He said that a fan gave it to him. And he's like, I don't know if I'd spend $1,000 on a thing. And I'm like, are you hearing something that I didn't hear?
No, Danny's insane.
Okay, that probably so.
No, I don't remember. But no, I thought, just because people remember there was a video of Israel does a reaction to a fight, and then Alex Pereira filmed himself watching Israel's reaction. And in it, there's a bit where, for a bit of B-roll, they cut to like Izzy's decorations, and one of them's a fluffy Pikachu. And Pereira sees it and sort of basically goes, ugh.
Right.
Interesting.
Maybe he thinks Pikachu's gay. I don't know. Right. But when I was skimming back, I wanted to ask my question, and I realized it was Pikachu, and it just seems, being that Alex,
too much of a coincidence.
Well, Alex is in person seems to be pretty chill, you know, but his social media, whether it's him or his missus or whoever runs it, it's very measured.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
There's very targeted things at Israel, and has been since before they fought the first time. You know, it's been really, really targeted. So the two, to me, seems...
I could see if somebody followed his social media, they could literally think, like, this is going to be hilarious. I saw him do this thing, and I'm going to offer it to him. I mean, I could see that being true instead of him just saying, like, okay, I'm going to get a jacket with Pikachu. I could see doing the legwork and him saying, like, that's awesome, and I'm going to wear it. But his whole excuse of, oh, I thought it matched my clothes, and so I'm going to wear it, like, that's a bit of a stretch.
And then also remember at the end of the thing, there's a couple of things that I'm reading way too much. First of all, Jose asked about Pikachu, and both Alex and the coach laughed, as if, like, oh, someone noticed. He also turned around after the scrum to, like, brush off the back, making sure Pikachu was facing the audience.
That could be
stuff
it.
Like that. Because that was so random, and I'm sure they had planned to do that in advance in case someone had asked.
I think you're right. I couldn't remember who did that. That to me was a little tell.
I just think it's too much like a coincidence. So that's why I think.
So here's where we get to it, right? And you said it spot on, and I completely agree with you. Like, I think that anybody that says to you, John, I know exactly how this fight is going to go on Saturday night. I've played it out in my head, and let me tell you 100%. And even, I know, you know, different people in the room were kind of asking all the media, were kind of asking the fighters today about to give the breakdowns. And I really honestly feel like every fighter said the same thing. Like, this is, I mean, we have so much history between them that it's kind of easy to break down, which is, you know, obviously Israel has won the majority of the rounds between kickboxing and boxing, but he's lost twice. He's lost twice via knockout. So once by knockout, you can say, oh, well, I just got caught. We all get caught in this game twice. Now you can't really say that anymore. But and this whole Pikachu thing, as silly as that may sound, I think it really leans toward like the mental games, right? I mean, like there's no.
He even said, "Oh, I do it because I know it'll piss him off." Basically, you know.
I mean, I think of Israel as a very, very strong-minded, self-confident person.
Yeah, absolutely.
But how can you be 0-3 and that dude not, like, how can it not be in your that hesitation, I mean, that doubt? How could it not?
That's
be in
why
your
I think Alex is more comfortable.
Right.
And I think Alex, there's probably some little farm fighting him in MMA.
Yep.
You still knock him out. I'm sure Alex is just like, this guy can't beat me.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's just strange because, I mean, when you look at Alex and the way that he's able to just kind of go in there and he just has this calm and cool. And I mean, Izzy, he knows that he's got that over him. I mean, I just feel like Izzy's been just sort of out of it for this. I mean, however much that he's trying to act like that it's not getting to his head, it has to be. I mean, for him to say, don't you guys think this is the greatest rivalry? I'm like, it's not even close in my book.
That is interesting.
It's not even fucking close. Right. But if you want to talk about how much this is in his head, how much these fights
he
mean to him.
He said the greatest rivalry in the history of MMA.
He said it's the greatest rivalry. I immediately thought, I was like, dude, Jones and DC was already better than this.
Right.
I was like, maybe if I followed the kickboxing.
There's only one rivalry that involved a dolly going through a bus window.
that's a good one, too.
I mean, that's a great one, too.
That's a pretty good one.
I was like, maybe if I followed the kickboxing, the history back then, I would see I would feel the depth of it that maybe that I'm missing out on.
Right.
So I'll admit that maybe I don't feel it. But for me, when I heard that, I was like, wow, Alex is living in this guy's head, like, immensely.
So, you know, did you guys catch the moment too, where when Israel was talking about, you know, what if I just absolutely destroy this guy? He's like, what if I tear through him? He's like, what if I put him on his back? I mean, what if I,
yeah.
He caught himself. He was like, I mean, what if I just rip him up a lot? So, I mean, probably, no secret. He probably needs to wrestle and grapple a little bit more and look for the takedown more than he did last time around, right? Because I think what we've seen with Alex Bejeda is that, like, and it's challenging for Izzy, is that, like, dude, if you want to beat him with your game, which is very much a point-style game,
yep,
you're going to be you're going to need to be perfect for 25 minutes, and he only needs to be perfect for 2 seconds, right, and land one shot. So no secret there. I mean, I think – but I did think that was funny that he kind of said, what if I put him on his back, and then he caught himself and was like, oh, I mean –
But it wasn't like he didn't try to put him on his back. He just never succeeded.
Right.
I mean, he wanted to strike. He wanted to knock him out, you know, and that probably got to him. But in the attempts when they got a little bit close, you know, he tried to make some attempts, and Alex was able to fight off. The main thing all Alex, in my mind, had to do on this one was cardio. This whole camp, cardio. Right, right. That's the only weakness I saw, was that when he got tired, Izzy was able to piece him up. You know, he just got too slow. And at the very end, you know, Izzy got caught in that moment of, you know, just sort of staying within that range. You know, if Alex can maintain his energy all the way through and can not let Izzy get up close to him and can't get him down, I just don't think Izzy's going to beat him. I actually picked Alex for this
one. You picked Alex this one?
I was straight Izzy last time, and I still believe that Izzy could literally point beat him most of this fight.
And they get clipped again in round five or round four or whatever.
See, I actually have a different opinion, and I don't say this necessarily with any insider knowledge, but I've heard a little bit, you know, I'm pretty close with, I know those guys pretty well, and I've heard little bits that I think it's funny, Deontay Wilder in boxing, everyone always says, oh, you have to be perfect for 12 rounds, he has to be perfect for 12 seconds.
Right.
And I asked Izzy on Sunday, I said, do you view him as Deontay Wilder? And he said, I think he's exactly like Deontay Wilder. Now, we're getting into the weeds here. When Tyson Fury first boxed Deontay Wilder, he point fought him, and ended up being a tie. And the second fight, he realized, if I put Deontay on the back foot and I go at him, he can't fight as well.
Right.
And I suspect, because if you go back and watch the first fight, Eugene Barryman was telling Israel, you have to push forward.
Right.
He's coming onto you. You got to go out to him. So I actually think you're going to see Israel being a lot more aggressive in this fight, moving forward. And I don't think he's going to go for takedowns, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's a lot of clinching.
I think
against
it's
going
to be a lot of clinch
burning minutes.
I was going to say, even if he's clinching, he's going to be where he's going to sap him out. He's going to sap his energy. And
that's why I think you're going to see a lot more forward motion from Israel.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see a lot more clinch work. The problem is, and I know this because they said, like, the clinching is tricky. He's so fucking big.
Right.
He's so big, he can still get knees and strikes off on you, even
elbows,
if you got him
knees.
In the clinch, you know?
Yep.
So let's say that's the game plan. He executes it to perfection. He's in his face. And I do think that's a really good strategic idea, right? Because you think about somebody that's dangerous from range, and you have this bad habit of like, oh, well, I've got to stay back out of range, but then you have to move into attack. So then you find...
That's because that's his weapon as well. Like, Izzy,
exactly.
His distance and his range and the way he's able to close and get strikes where people are still looking at him like, where's it coming? Damn, there it is.
Yep.
You know, like, I mean...
But when you do that against somebody with the power of Alex Bejeda, then you find yourself in their range. So let's say he does that. We know the game plan, and he executes it to perfection. He's going to be aggressive. He's always going to be in his face. He's never going to let... And he said it today, right? He's like, I can't let this guy breathe. Can't let him breathe, right?
That's
I got to stay right in front of him. I think that's exactly what he means. I got to be aggressive. I got to be right in front of him. Let's say he does that. He's aggressive. He's getting to the clinch often. He's burning some minutes in there. Maybe trading some knees in there. I'm sure he takes some shots in there. Do you think it's going to be enough to get the win?
Well, that's the thing. it doesn't matter what strategy you implement, you still have to be perfect at it against this guy.
Yep.
And I think the problem with that strategy is, yeah, sure, you're pushing him back and you're bringing your fire. And people fucking, like, it's so easy to forget how close he had Alex to ending that fight in the first round.
Yes, yes.
You know, because he just nailed him with a couple of right hands and wobbled him.
He hurt him.
So it's that. Hey, he might finish him in the first round, but it's also with a guy like Alex. Like, hey, you want to go trade fire with fire? He can hit you too in that scenario, you know? And that's where it gets really dangerous.
I love this
so
fight.
That's where this, you know. And there's a chance, like, man, if you're Israel, because I think I don't like the way a lot of the fans view Israel. You know, I think he gets a lot of shit. For a guy who fights every 4 months against the best, who just got knocked out by a guy who's beaten him twice before, and your reaction to that is, let's fight again in 6 months' time. I think that should be applauded. But you have
What do you think they're saying? I'm like, what are they saying? What are
He gets a lot of hate.
He gets so much shit. Like, if people
at the public
For example, this week he said, if it wasn't for me, Alex would have been exposed by now. Meaning, because I'm at the top and we have this rivalry, he got to bypass a lot of those matchups.
That's true.
Yeah. There's a lot of people at middleweight I would pick against Alex Pineda.
In the comment section, you see, how did he get exposed? The only thing he exposed is your chin, you know, that sort of stuff. Bullshit. But what I think...
It's like they forgot the fact that Izzy was winning that fight all the way up to the very end.
I think the thing that interests me is, if you're Israel, and this guy's beaten you three times, and I also think there's an element of Israel, this is the biggest rivalry in MMA history, he's putting that pressure and stakes on himself.
Yeah.
I think he's viewing it like that because I think he thrives in big moments, and he's trying to make this moment as do or die as possible.
Yep.
And so if it's as do or die as possible, does part of you just think, well, fuck it, let's just go for it? Because he knocked me out last time when I played it safe. No playing it safe. I'll just try and take him out. And if he knocks me out, he knocks me out. There's got to be part of
it. Yeah, because it could definitely be that. It definitely sounds like a guard on your shield mentality.
He's also a warrior, man. The guy is like, people shit on him like because he's a bit effeminate sometimes. Guy fought Kelvin Gastelum like a savage.
Oh. Yeah,
you know, the guy's got like serious stuff in him.
I'm prepared to die.
Yeah,
like, come
dude,
on,
like, legit.
Like,
so.
not. You know, I remember when that happened. I mean, not to go on off, but you know, some people say, "Oh, I said that in my head." You know what I mean? You're like,
bro, he fucking looks dead in the eyes after being rocked. I believe, like lip hanging off him, bro. So I think while most people would think, "Oh, there's no way." Israel's the kind of guy. Jorge Masvidal said it. Israel's kind of special, man. Like, it doesn't matter.
There's
like,
no denying that.
Like some people can have your number, and in a sport like MMA, that's fine. But the guy's special, and if you don't think Israel's got the mentality to be like, "Fuck it, let's just go for it," I think he does.
I love it. You know, and it is weird too because there's even that mentality of like, do you know how hard it is to beat somebody four consecutive times? But then it's like, you know, I think Gilbert Burns was saying today, it's like, but we've seen it three times, and twice he was knocked out. It wasn't like it was controversial decisions. I mean, one of them was, but I think I'm leaning Adesanya in this one. But I was leaning Adesanya last time. I felt like things were going the way they were supposed to go, and then they didn't. Yeah. And so that's what makes this one so.
The funny thing about the Israel thing is the fifth round where he got stopped. He tripped. He tripped over because his leg was a little bit numb. He tripped over his own foot. And that's when Alex thought he was more hurt than he was, leapt on him and sort of flurried and clipped him.
Right.
If he didn't trip, Alex doesn't get the urge to go for the kill. And
never changes.
You know, it's just little things like that.
It's unbelievable.
But that's what we say. He has to be perfect.
So,
that's on both sides. It definitely isn't just Izzy needs to be perfect. They both need to be perfect. Because just like you said, if Alex goes out there overconfident, thinking like, I have this guy's number. He can't hurt me. He hurt me. I recovered. And at the very end of it, I was able to do it. If he goes in there thinking that, oh, it's in the bag, I mean, Izzy can have a good day with him. So
I mean,
both of them have to be perfect.
The craziest thing about it was all of us, Gilbert said, the evidence is there of what happens when these two men step in a cage and fight. Like, the evidence is there. And yet, we were 3 minutes away from what someone would say, like, that's one of Israel's best performances of his career. Yep. What a shutout.
Yep.
Unbelievable. You know, it's 3 minutes in it. Really crazy.
Love this. Chris Curtis. I mean, who doesn't love Chris Curtis, right? The dude just keeps it real, the way he lays it out. But the way he laid it out is exactly the way I felt about this whole thing, is that, like, that dude is your personal boogeyman. You know, you gave this interview kind of disparaging him.
Yep.
He came and chased you into your new sport, like, took your life away right here. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the aftermath of this. I keep saying, I mean, I think Alex Pineda, which is kind of wild because the fact that he just got to the UFC, he doesn't speak English. I do feel like he's kind of over with fans, though. I feel like
For sure.
really, really like him. But I was thinking, you know, the biggest star-making thing he could do was be like to win this belt. If he were to win, and granted, he would never execute it like this, but just throw the belt down in the center of the cage. Be like, I didn't even want this thing. I just wanted to prove a point to you, Israel Adesanya. I'm better than you. I'm going to 205. And we asked him about that today, about going to 205, and he certainly didn't rule it out, but he also said he didn't feel like he needed to right now. And it sounded like he said he was kind of interested in beating some of those guys. I think he's probably heard those things where people say, you know, I don't think he can beat all these middleweights. I think he wants to beat some of the middleweights.
He was actually, I'll tell you what, he was a lot less sort of into moving up than I thought, because I honestly assumed that he wins on Saturday, he's fucking gone.
Dude, his weight cuts are, I mean, we haven't seen it this week, obviously, but every time we've seen that dude weigh in, it's
last time
scary
was the skin of his teeth. Last time in New York, it was like the last minute, wasn't it? So, hey, look, he might feel differently on Saturday. I mean, it doesn't look like he started the cut, but it's funny, he was like, yeah, I'll fight Costa. No, one could look into this. But he was like, yeah, I'll Rob Whittaker, Paul Acosta, fight them tomorrow. Chimaev, this, I don't know, this guy.
he just got here, you know what I mean?
There's an element of that, so.
Didn't hear him say anything about Vettori.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if Pereira moved up to 205, that's a division I think he could live up there quite happily, you know?
I think so, too.
But there's probably more interesting matchups for him at middleweight.
What if Izzy does lose? Let's say Alex does win. Mm. Okay, we don't know what Alex is going to do. Maybe he'll go 205. Maybe he'll have some of these matchups. What about Izzy? Like, I mean, I'm just struggling to think. Like, if let's say he loses, and Alex doesn't move up to 205 and he stays at middleweight, I mean, it sounds silly to see like his Adesanya done. Like, obviously he's capable of fight. I mean, he's beaten everybody else in the division. But like, I also don't get the idea that like. First, it feels like he's done pretty well for himself financially and set himself up good. But second, like, I just don't see him as being a guy that's like, I'm just around taking, you know, interesting fights to make money. Like, that just doesn't seem like his style.
I would assume if he lost on Saturday, he would either do a Colby or Masvidal and just sit out.
Disappear for a while.
And assume Vittori's going to come and beat Pereira, and then I'll just go and fight Vittori and win the title back, you know? That's completely logical and possible. Or, listen, Jamal Hill's good. Israel's pretty good too, you know. That's not a fight I look at and think, oh, Israel's going to struggle with that.
It's a lot more favorable matchup than the last time he moved up.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
You know, so he could move up. He could win. It's just very funny that considering their relationship and how often they're linked together, how him and Usman could be in the exact same situation very shortly. Beating the whole division except for the two times the champion.
Can you imagine if he did move up and won the title and then Alex decided he was moving up too?
I mean, almost certainly exactly what would happen. I mean, dude.
Like, bro, you gotta leave my man alone, dude. Yeah. Like,
but we see it play out, right? Look, Rob Whittaker's been in this spot for the last year as well.
Yep.
He's killing off contenders, hoping Israel loses. Max Holloway's in there now. You know, this is not an unheard of story. It's only a bit unheard of because Izzy's been so dominant.
Yep.
Who knows, man? I would assume he could either sit out or move up, right? But he's that's the thing. Like, he wouldn't want to sit out, though. He's active.
Not exactly. Oh, it's so intriguing. All right, can't wait for this. Co-main event, Gilbert Burns versus Jorge Masvidal. Maybe not, you know, obviously not the same kind of backstory and intrigue. I'll be honest. I mean, I don't think this is a real difficult fight to break down in terms of X's and O's either. I think everybody kind of believes, obviously, Gilbert has a superior grappling game. I will say, and even Gilbert Burns said it himself today, Jorge Masvidal's defensive wrestling is better than most people seem to be giving him credit for. And so he shouldn't be written off. It's like, well, Gilbert's just going to go walk right through him. That's going to happen. No, he's saying, look, I know I have a tough fight on my hands. I will say, and we kind of talked about it a little bit today, and again, it's not probably most people feel the same way, is that, you know, Gilbert does have a tendency to go out and brawl and throw down, and he likes to do that. And if he does that, I think it opens up more possibilities for Jorge Masvidal. Jorge talked about how great his training has been, how great everything's going. I mean, obviously, nobody's going to be like, yeah, my training camp sucked. But, yes. I mean, he was just, you know, kind of talking about it even at this point in his career, how special it was, how good he feels right now. You know, the guys that he's talking about going with, obviously high-level grapplers, and they're saying they're giving him tough rounds. Then you add in the fact that, you know, listen – you know, we kind of joke about these magical properties sometimes, but, you know, him being in Miami, maybe it'll add a little something to it, you know, a little something extra. You know, he talks about that story, and he's like, I apologize for telling it again, but it is a pretty damn cool story that when they were here 20 years ago, he was a teenager in the crowd saying, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to bring the show, and now it's all come to culmination. So it's a big moment. So, I mean, Jorge Masvidal has a tendency to show up in big moments. So, you know, I think this fight, I do lean towards Gilbert Burns, but I think to say that Jorge has no chance whatsoever and this is, you know, a one-sided fight, I would disagree with that. I imagine you guys kind of feel the same. So, I guess if you feel differently, let me know. But the other thing this whole welterweight title situation, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, I hate the fact that any opinion I give on Colby Covington is going to be like, oh, of course that's what you think, John. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But give it 10 push-ups.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's so – but
– Well, John, you were clapping when Jorge called him the king of dick-sucking. So.
That was true. I thought that was really weird.
Oh, did you catch that up? The standing open?
That was really weird how you broke character like that.
Yes! Get him, Jorge! Get him!
I just hit him with a chest bump. Yeah, My guy. Yeah. No, obviously, clearly that's all a joke, folks.
Yeah.
But no,
or is it?
But I am
– Colby, I got video of it.
It is – It is so weird that Dana went out of his way to just be like, "Kobe's next."
Yeah.
No, Kobe's next. No. Kobe's next. Like, doesn't it kind of like take? I mean, both Jorge and Gilbert both said, "Hey, I don't know about that." You know what I mean? Now that's probably what you got. I doubt anybody wants to go into a fight that could be a number one contender fight and be like, "Well, they told me it wasn't, so it's not." You're gonna want to make your case. You're gonna want to be there. So maybe they're just telling themselves that. But I don't know, man. I feel like some of the specialness of this fight was kind of robbed out of the fact that we're like, it's not a number one contender fight.
And that's been my main angle the entire thing is with the Colby stuff. Like, I actually don't really give a shit if Colby's getting the title shot because whatever. But my own confusion, and it's what I was why I asked Jorge in the way that he completely ignored today. Like, as a promoter, if you're Dana and you know it's Colby, wouldn't you just not say anything for a week? Just let this fight, like, give this fight some added
significance. It's not like it was 2 months
ago. It's actually next week.
If you're like, oh, dude, I totally forgot we had that fight scheduled 10 weeks from now. Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
All you have to do is be like, hey, listen, I'm leaning Colby, but man, if Masvidal comes out there and flying knees him, how can you say no? That's all you have to do. And then even if Masvidal knocks Gilbert out, you can be like, you know, he was really impressive, but I think Colby deserves it for going over there to London and doing that. You know?
So let me ask you this. Because Dana, say what you will about Dana. I know some people hate him, and that's fine, whatever. Some people say he's checked out, doesn't care, whatever. I disagree with that. I think he's as checked in as ever. I mean, he micromanages more so than you would probably imagine. But, like, he goes out of his way to tell us he doesn't matchmake on fight nights over and over and over. And when he makes an exception, there's a reason for it.
Well, and his adamance.
Right.
Like the week after in San Antonio. Yeah, it's Colby. It's Colby.
What's... Can you comprehend the reason? I don't.
Well, unless I've got, like, you're getting conspiracy hat on. I mean, part of it makes me think he just wants to piss people off. You know, piss the media off. I think as soon as he announced it and everyone started getting upset.
He does like that. As soon as he knows that it pisses the media off, he'll just.
Well, I think if basically he announces something and everyone pushes back on it, it just reaffirms his position.
Oh, 100%.
Again, these are pure conspiracies that I'm just guessing. You never know. Maybe they told Colby, hey, fucking drop these felonies and you can get a title shot. Or, hey, Trump's running for election. Wouldn't it be great if we had a UFC champion next to him every day? You know, so these are all like hypotheticals that I have no basis for. But there's a tell in Dana's adamant.
Right.
You know, like Dana's never adamant.
I just can't figure out exactly what it is. No. But you're right. There's something there. For him to be that adamant about something, especially when he knows there's a fight, because it's just way easier, as you said, to just be like, I mean, right now you got to think Colby's in the driver's seat, but if somebody goes out and does something special in that co-main event, things can change. I mean, it's just so weird to not take that approach. There has to be a reason for it.
I agree. It's very strange.
Doesn't make any sense. Because, I mean, well, one, maybe there's part of that interest because it keeps people talking. It's like one of those things, well, I could clear it up in one paragraph or one sit down, but it's like, just let the media spew about it, you know, because it's just going to formulate more stories and it just generates more buzz.
It certainly became a big talking point today. It
became a huge talking point. Gilbert, I love Gilbert's mentality about it. You know, it's so funny. He's like, you know, if anything, you know, he's like, good job, Colby. You know, he's like, but he's like, what's the
it
sense?
It is funny that Gilbert's
what's the
like,
sense
that
of
dude's
arguing
smart.
With it? Yeah, he's like, you know, he gets the opportunity. It is what it is. I mean, guys could be, you know, can yell and be angry about it until they're red in the face. But what is it really going to change at the end of the day? You know, like all you need to work. And I think he has the right mentality. He needs to first focus on what's right in front of him. That's the only thing he has control over.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even the fighters, yes, if you can go out and put out a great performance, yes, maybe something will sway him. But at the end of the day, if you go out there and you're already too busy thinking about what's next after this and you fuck up then it's already a done deal, you know. Yep. So I just thought his mentality has been refreshing, and even when we did an interview with him before this fight week, he had the same notion, you know. It's like, good on Colby. Colby's able to kind of work it, you know. So if there is some deal that's going to pop up, or if there is some other little thing, I love Jorge's thing today where he's like, I don't know if he's even going to fight because the dude's got brain damage.
That dude,
you know,
played it perfectly. Jorge says, yeah, he's like, look, I don't know how he's going to fight for the title if I've got these alleged felonies because of this alleged brain. And he played it perfectly because I think what he did is he put himself, like, now Colby has to make a decision. Either Colby,
do you have brain
fights
damage
for the
or
title,
or
yeah, he either fights for the title and drops the felonies, or he keeps the felonies and lets Jorge fight for the title. You know what I mean? So it's like, I thought
maybe
he
doesn't have to drop it,
but
by doing that, it immediately, like, he already knows that the case will get dropped because it's gonna come back. But then he doesn't have to admit anything. Jorge's, he doesn't have to drop
he's
anything.
He's so funny when he's just like, I mean, I'm no medical doctor, but I don't believe you're allowed to fight with brain damage.
It's
I don't
perfect.
Think. You know what I
it's
mean?
It's so smart. It's so smart. Even if it doesn't do anything, it's at least giving an out for it to happen, you know?
So what do you guys think? Does the – because, listen, all right, no, and I love Gilbert Burns, man. I love him as a fighter. I love him as a person. I love him as an interview. But if he wins, I think it's way easier for the UFC to stick with the idea – that it's Leon and Colby, right? Whereas if Masvidal wins, now you've got this brief window of opportunity where it doesn't make any sense whatsoever for Jorge Masvidal to fight for a title, even as a superstar that he is, except for the fact that he has this history, he has the three-piece in the sold. It would sell, as he mentioned today, it would sell a ton of pay-per-views, and I believe it would sell a ton of pay-per-views. Yep. Leon, he's even said himself, I want that fight, right? Like, I need to clear this. So it's not a situation where, like, it'd be one thing, I think, if Leon the champ was like, bro, I forgot about that incident a long time ago. Like, he's a punk. I don't want to give him the shine. Yeah. That'd be one thing. But he hasn't said that. He's like, oh, no, we're clearing this stuff up. So, do you think that the result of this fight, like, it matters how it plays out and what happens? Or do you believe that it's set in stone and it's Colby and that's that?
I think it's probably Colby. Just because now Dana has made it so... Dana gets this weird look on his face when he's like, go on, tell me I'm wrong. And in San Antonio, when we had him post-fight, he's like, I don't make fights the night of the fight. And I said, well, you made Colby the night of the fight. And he went, yeah, I did, because Colby's next. Does anyone think I'm wrong? And, you know, he gets all defiant.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he goes back on that. He's not going to... I mean, he could, and I wonder if his team will try and talk him into it. But, like, Gilbert was pretty obvious. Like, he's like, yeah, like, it's probably going to be Colby. You know, he couldn't even, like, lie to himself. Masvidal, I think, really does believe if he gets a finish. And I think it would be... Colby doesn't mind waiting. Just fucking wait for Masvidal Leon, you know? It's not that big a deal. So, we'll see. I think...
That's true, because, look... And man, I mean, because... And if you're Colby, and like I said, you don't mind waiting. Because, look, if that's the next fight, if it was Jorge and Leon, right?
Yeah.
If you're Colby... Does it matter which one you fight in terms of money?
No.
Because those are both money fights.
Yeah. Especially like if Masvidal's champion, and you, like, if you're Colby, you would obviously be pretty confident in that fight.
Right.
What does it matter, you know?
In fact, I agree.
Would, considering the two of them quite clearly loathe each other, would there not be some extra added incentive to be able to take this guy's belt off him?
Hell yeah, there would.
Yeah, so.
Just ask Alex Bejeda. All right, listen. Clear potential fight of the night opportunity, Rob Font and Adrian Yanez.
Yeah.
The real question here, I guess, is this the moment kind of Adrian Yanez kind of ascends? Right? I mean, he beats a Rob Font. He kind of said it today, right? He's like, I beat him, I take his number. I go from 12 to 6. I don't know if that'll happen exactly, but at the very least, I mean, I don't think there's any fan of MMA that isn't high on Adrian Yanez, right? I mean, the dude's on an incredible win streak. He's fun to watch fight. This should be an absolute banger stylistically. The way these two match up should be a blast.
I mean, dude, if you look at that division, so say Yanez gets Rob Font, not to discredit
but
Rob,
yeah.
But let's say Yanez moves up to 6. Any of these matchups are amazing. Against Chito Vera at 5, great fight. Petr Yan at 4, great fight. Sandhagen at 3, great fight. O'Malley at 2, great fight. Marab. I would say that's the least favorable.
But that's just the boogeyman of the division for everybody,
right? That's
what
I'm saying.
Like, that dude is just like, his cardio and his wrestling is insane. Yeah, you're right. Sign me up for it. Every one of those matchups is a fight night main event.
Yeah. I mean, great stylistic as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
you giving? I mean, Font's like you said, you kind of hate to just write off Font, but are you giving Font much of a chance? Because I'll be honest with you, I hate to say it, I just feel like Giannis is a bad matchup for him.
I think, you know, you would say Rob's strengths are in being a good boxer.
Right.
I would say Giannis is the best boxer in the division.
I agree.
So, you know, I don't know, man. I just think Giannis is very, very good. I've been high on him since you saw him on Contender. You know, you can just tell some guys, like...
Yeah, he's got it.
Yeah, he's got it. So, yeah, it's an exciting fight, but also Rob's taking a fucking beating.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's tough as nails. I mean, like, that's the kind of thing I think where Giannis is in the past has been able to get guys out. I don't know if he's going to be able to get that quick finish on a guy
more than likely it's going to go to a decision. 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to go to a decision on that. But yeah, I mean, I think Giannis is just the cleaner fighter. But Font, he's got power, and he's got a tough chin. Like you said, he's taken some battles. I just think Giannis has just more tools to get it done.
I agree, boy. Hey, boys, football, you lay out those next potential matches. Not trying to look past Rob Font, man. No disrespect to Rob Font.
Even Dominic Cruz, like Song Yadong, Pedro Munhoz. These are all banger fights.
I mean, anytime we could see Yadong back in there.
Hello, darling. How are you?
big fan of Yadong.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin Holland versus Santiago
Ponzinibbio. And cock.
And we like his cock.
Oh, too ridiculous. Kevin Holland, San Diego Ponzinibbio. I guess as long as that fight stays together, right? Kevin Holland's out in the streets trying to create some new matchups. Do we ever figure out exactly what's going on in that video, or we just caught the tail end of it? I guess he posted that there's some stuff
going
on.
I mean, it's quite possible that Masvidal could have heard the interview, or somebody just tipped him off and said, oh, hey, it's streaming, by the way, and Holland was in there saying he doesn't like you. You know, they might have been watching a stream of a certain outlet in here. A penthouse level outlet, or they might have been watching my little old stream. You never know. But yeah, I mean, it's quite possible. I just assumed it's something like that. I mean, like, but how many times? I've always been surprised that fighters that go up there have been paying attention to the media day scrums, and they all do. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised that if it wasn't something that stemmed from Kevin in there earlier saying he just doesn't like
Masvidal.
Yeah,
yeah.
To be honest, from the video we saw, it looks like Kevin was shouting at him.
Yeah. But, I mean, also that was probably by the time somebody had the wherewithal to pull out their phone and start recording. Because it looked like we caught the tail end after it had already been, like,
but Masvidal was fucking miles away.
Yeah.
And walking away. And it's so funny, actually, because all I did was I remember when Masvidal was going up to Bisping in the hotel and giving him loads of shit during New York. I was like, oh, we've changed.
So funny.
Yeah.
My goodness. All right. Then, of course, the anomaly, the teenager, Raul Rosas Jr. versus Christian Rodriguez. I think a matchup that – I know – and Christian Rodriguez was – I love Christian Rodriguez. He came through CFFC, like as he mentioned there, former teammate of CM Punk. So Punk was always high on him and talked about, you know, Christian as a kid, you know what I mean? Like as a legit, like, teenager coming in there and working with him. But, you know, Christian was like, well, I don't think they give people easy matchups. And he's not an easy matchup. He's a hell of a fighter. But, you know, I think Christian's best strengths are his striking skills, whereas – Rosas, you know exactly what he's going to do. What do you guys think about Rosas? Because, like, look, swagger might not be the right word for an 18-year-old kid. You know what I mean? He's still a little bit awkward. But, I mean, he's coming in there. He's saying all the swagger
things. He's getting better. He's still got that touch of naivety that's just – it's kind of adorable. When he was asked about the van, he's like, you know. But then he brings – you know, it's not there yet. But he's like – teasing his brother about, you know, like, he's still not driving me or whatever.
I can't decide what I like for him because, like, on the one hand, like, when he's talking about, like, at the school cafeteria lunch and eating burritos. Yeah. Just, I don't know. Like, that's a – but I don't know.
He said,
like,
he's eating steak now.
Yeah, he's eating steak now.
He's eating good.
I don't know. Like, he came in there today and, like – you know, somebody was like, well, what do you think about the people that are saying, you know, that you don't belong, or like the fighters that say that you shouldn't be there? And it's like, well, I don't know who'd be saying that, but I'd tell them to worry about their own thing because I'm a main card pay-per-view fighter. I don't know.
That's 100%.
I can't decide what I like. I don't know what I think about him overall, I guess.
I can only imagine what I would be, how I could never have the kind of swagger that he comes out there with as at such a young age. Yeah. Like to be in front of a bunch of media, all those cameras, all the lights, let alone not even just talking about what he's able to do in the cage, but just being able to deal with all that other stuff, you're going to seem awkward at the time. We were all fucking awkward at that age.
At 18, you're awkward.
Like, everybody's just sort of awkward, but he's growing into himself. Maybe not this colored-haired freak off here to the left of us.
Jose Young is awkward at his current age. What are you talking about?
He wasn't awkward then. He's blossomed
he's like, bro,
into a beautiful,
at 18,
awkward.
I was incredible. Now I'm weird as fuck, but I just...
I mean, you got to give him a lot of credit because, I mean, like, he... it's amazing the switch, because when you see the kid up there that's talking with us, you feel the, like that just the weird sort of like awkward that you just want to be like, oh man, I like this right. kid. But when he gets in the cage, you're like, who the hell is this guy? This is not the awkward little kid
There's
that was
way
talking about
that.
Getting his
who
mom.
The anyway, go. I'm sorry.
Yeah, who the fuck is?
Yeah, he's definitely no Conor McGregor when it comes to the swag. Like,
I think,
but it's weird. Like I like, but like I don't know. There's something to be said that I think would be cool to be like, bro, it's, you know, I'm living my dream. It's amazing. Yeah, yeah. I'm 18. My friends are in high school, and I'm in here about to headline this paper. Like, instead, he's just like, hell yeah, I'm here. Like, I'm that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It strikes me as a little weird. Like, I wonder if it's going to end up giving him – and I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen a whole lot, so maybe you guys could tell me. But is he getting hate? Like, I feel like everybody loves him. He's getting some hate. Jose's saying he's getting some hate. I feel like more people are going to start kind of hating him a little bit.
Listen, you talk like that, you get the hate, right?
That's it.
Despite the fact that actually that's what fans want. They right. want people
they
to be
They want it.
But I'll say, you talk about sort of like mildly endearing and stuff. The one thing I find kind of funny about him is he says these things, but I'm quietly convinced he's saying them because he's basically heard someone else say them and he thinks that's what you're meant to say. Like, you know, so it's almost like watching karaoke in a press conference, almost like they just copy, like Connor said this, so this is what Connor would say. So that, you know,
I'm not trying to disrespect the kid. Again, he's 18. Nobody's
dude, ridiculous.
We see people, you know, that are nervous as hell at you know whatever ages, you know. But I can't disagree with that. Like, I feel like he's just, I don't know. There's a weird part of it. It feels like he's just doing what he thinks he needs to do.
I mean, he's
for sure, and that's fine. Like, it's still.
I mean, they all. It's an on the job sort of experience. You know, you're only going to get better the more reps that he does. And for him to come out there and at least take some shots, I think probably go back and figure like, hey, was that cool? And I mean, if he has a lot of yes men, they'll be like, oh, that was great. Just keep saying what you're doing. Or he's going to look at some of that stuff and be like,
how
can I improve it?
If you have yes men at 18, you're doomed.
Fortunately, every kid that has a friend that's 18 and in the UFC is going to be a yes man.
Fortunately, we don't normally see that in mixed martial arts. Yeah. Generally, these athletes all have very strong personalities next to them to let them know when they're making mistakes and really kind of guide them in the proper
way. Guide them in the
We've
right
seen
direction.
It happen over and over throughout history of mixed martial arts. Usually, there's a good advisor next to you that just says, hey,
that
let me
always
get
has
your
their
ear.
Best interests in mind.
Hey, knock it off, all right? Get sick of this.
Kid, just stick with the van comments. Come on.
I like the kid too. I'm just kind of wondering.
I don't doubt his talent anymore.
I was going to ask you. His talent is questionable.
And I like if what he needs to do is just, you know, maybe I certainly believe he believes in what he's saying in terms when it comes to his talent. Whether, you know, some of the other stuff, I mean, you could tell that he's trying to practice. Some of his delivery comes up when he hits it good. I'm like, wow, this kid's he's going to be something, you know, one of these days. I think it's just as everything catches up. But, you know, when you look at again, you look at his age, you can't discount it.
No.
I mean, but it's amazing what he's able to do. But I think the kid, I stopped doubting him. You know,
you
I think,
two sound like Dana, the kid.
Well, when I could literally be his dad like twice over, I'm going to call him the kid. I literally.
Twice over?
Yeah, because I could be if I was 36.
He could be your grandkid.
I turned 49 this fucking year. Jesus. I could be the kid's dad twice over.
He could be your grandkid.
Yeah, yeah. He could be your grandkid. Well, yeah, but you'd have had to like fuck his mom young, you know.
Maybe I do. I still over a van. No, I mean, and maybe you're right. Maybe we do pick up on it because Dana just
Kenny
throw it around.
Old, but she was 45.
Yeah. Fell right out.
But yeah, I mean, maybe we do pick up the name, but they are kids. Everybody's a kid to us.
So true.
But yeah, I mean, this young man is he. I don't doubt him anymore. I mean, when everybody was touting him up and saying this stuff, I mean, I think we were all like, "Is he that good?" And then when he went out there, and regardless of what the talent levels of the guys that we first saw him like on the Contender Series or whatever, you can tell that the kid's not. He's not a regular amateur. He's not a regular 18-year-old kid
right.
getting in there.
The problem is though, right? It's going to look like that until it doesn't, you know? Like,
that's what I'm interested to see. That's what I'm interested to see. The first time that happens, I'm interested to see what happens.
But, I mean, but look at it right now. It's like, what does that mean? When he gets a top five guy, it doesn't come that easy.
Well,
and then we start saying
that
what?
It doesn't
you know?
Do that for anybody.
It doesn't, it doesn't have to be like that. Because, look, even Bo Nickel, right?
Yeah.
Bo Nickel, hyped up, blah, 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 goes in his last fight, gets the arm triangle choke, right, I believe it was, and he just couldn't finish it for a little bit too long, right?
Right.
I feel like it immediately killed his momentum. Because he just couldn't tap him
in under a minute. You know, just even the, any slightest thing of like, you're meant to be this destroyer, this next level, this new prodigy. If you're not that every time, you know, you
which
just,
is crazy because he can be really good. He can be potential future champion, but the expectations are so high because of what's been laid out for him.
Yeah, so that that's, you know, so I think
That's on us. That's on us and Dana. Like, I certainly, I mean, well, he is pretty braggadocious about how his, the time frame he said, didn't he, what did he say, 2 years? Yeah. Well, I like that the fact that he even said 2 years. I think he said 2 years champ.
Yeah.
That's cool. He's not saying, like, I'm not going to be a champ this year, you know? Like, he's given himself some time to actually grow into it.
He did. He said 4 fights this year, win this one, win 2 more, then the 4th fight is top 15. And then if you're fighting top 15 by the
that
end of the year.
That makes a lot
then,
of sense to me. Yeah,
he's definitely not fighting 4 times this year, though.
Oh, yeah, that's
even though
a
that's
ridiculous.
What I would like the UFC with him and Bo Nickel to actually just pump
get some
him
reps
out,
in.
Pump him out there every 3 months against. And listen, no one gives a fuck. Put him out there against bums. Like, we'll get it, you know? But I think that's like the Hamza phenomenon started because he fought a week apart, right?
Yeah.
And then it was middleweight, welterweight, and it was really cool and kind of new and unique. I would like to see someone just like every 2 months they fight and smash somebody, and in the background they're working. I really like that. And for someone his age, it's probably what you want, man. Because what's his amateur career? Probably not. He's probably got no amateur career, right? So, you know, use that.
I actually agree with you on that one because it's like a unique enough situation that you're just not waiting. Hey, oh, he fought twice this year. So what? Right, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't take advantage of it. So, all right, I'm interested to see what he does. Chris Curtis, Kelvin Gastelum, obviously that's very intriguing. Both of Kelvin was wide open with his, you know, admission of what this fight means and the struggles that he's gone through, and I appreciate that. You know, saying that he was kind of in the depths of it. So a good fight there. Michelle Watterson Gomez is back against Alana Pinheiro. That's a couple of ranked strawweights there. Gerald Mershot and Joe Pyfer, of course, be Joe Pyfer. CFFC ties there as well. Carl Williams, the late replacement, Chase Sherman, Cynthia Calvillo, and Lupi Godinez. Ignacio Bahamondes, who I like Ignacio Bahamondes a lot, Trey Ogden. Shailin Nerdenbieke, Steve Garcia, and Jacqueline Amram, the highly touted Brazilian jiu-jitsu specialist against Sam Hughes. Any of those out of the prelim matchups that you're most intrigued about?
I just like you rolling through those names, man. Listen to you.
You know how we do that. That's how professional announcers do.
I know. I was just saying, man, that's a, that's an
tell us play-by-play guys, man.
I didn't
fluid,
pay attention.
Like
I was,
Jose's
I was
gender.
So thrown back. Yeah. She just got awkward. Let me see. Let me take a look at your list. I'll let Oscar weigh in on who he.
What you ask? Any prelim that you're most excited for?
Man, I tell you, we're talking about how stacked this card is. I can't believe we're lucky enough to watch Michelle Waterson and Cynthia Calvillo in 2 separate fights. Oh man, I'm excited for that.
That's just a touch of sarcasm there.
What do you think's in the stakes for Chase Sherman in this one?
Getting cut again, probably.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, he needs
but
to have
something.
Matter.
That guy's been cut like 8 times. They sign him in.
They still bring him back. That's one of the fights where, you know, when you look at the overall card, I mean, there's a lot of really good fights. I remember I saw that when I was like, wow, Sherman got the nod. I don't know if that was a nod. They want to have some bigger bodies. But it made me think that, you know, if this doesn't work out for him, I wonder if this is the one that he gets kind of his papers after this one.
I'm big on Ignacio Bahamondes.
I know, he's so good.
I think he's great. So that's skills. The one I'm looking forward to.
It is a shame we lost Kiesa and Leach. That would have been a good fight,
That was
too.
A fucking really
good
one. Well, just two good characters, too. I mean, like, who doesn't love Leach and who doesn't Kiesa? Yeah. Kiesa loves you. It's kind of fun. Yeah. I was expecting
Kiesa
to
fucking
loves John.
Loves John. Aww.
Loves John. I was waiting for him to come
he
in.
He and
just
I
say
haven't
something.
Hit it off yet.
No? I like Kiesa. Yeah, we got to call fights together one time in Italy, man. That was fun.
That would have been a good fight.
Yeah, I like him. And I like Leach. Leach is so funny because that dude, like, obviously has never spoken a word of English that I've ever heard. Like, I don't understand a single word either. But, like, that dude starts talking. I have no idea what the words are. They're coming out of his mouth. But even before they're translated, I'm just smiling with them. I'm just
like, he's got that Texas interview. You're like, what? He's like, you're like, oh, Leach.
Just knocking on the racist door there.
I just don't know enough of the words to mimic the words. I just mimicking his energy level.
It's the energy level that
he's
there,
he's literally from 0 to 100 like that. You know, he's so awesome. But I mean, that fight had a lot of like real shit stakes. I mean, just in terms of like when you say like, okay, here's a guy that Kiesa, when he gets it to the ground, he just always somehow gets a submission out. He just works it out. Leach just powerful. He keeps it standing. He's like, I wanted to see if Kiesa was going to take it. like if he was going to get knocked the fuck out or if he was going to be tough and get leech down and actually tap the leech out. You know, I was like, dude, that's going to be cool. And we don't get it.
It's a bomb. But
why did that fight? What happened? When did it happen with that one?
Spinal
leech
injury.
Broke his spine.
Spinal injury for leech. So hopefully, man, that's not, I mean, boy, anytime you start talking about back injuries and spine injuries, stuff like that, I feel you on spinal injuries.
Walter, that's true.
I feel you on spinal ones.
A little thing or two about a spinal injury.
I don't know something about some spinal surgery.
Long recovery. All right, that's UFC 287. Real quick, guys. I mean, the UFC WWE merger. Obviously, we talked about that a lot. I mean, you could spend an entire podcast probably just breaking it down. I don't know. I kind of want to get your thoughts because I'll be honest with you. I don't think – because I've seen a lot of people like, what's this going to mean for the fan? Like, what does this mean? You know, are we going to see crossover opportunities and things like that? I got to be honest with you. I don't think from a fan perspective, other than like, yeah, you're going to see things like, yeah, hey, are we going to see commercials for WWE programming on UFC and vice versa? Hell yeah, we are. 100% we are. Are we going to see promotional things for both organizations? I think we will. I don't think we're going to see this mass wave of crossover one way or the other. I'm not saying maybe – you know, a WWE, there's not, you know, maybe now there's more focus on, oh, look at the stars that are in the crowd tonight. It's, you know, The Undertaker or whatever. I don't know. You know what I mean, I don't think, but so I wouldn't surprise, like, you know, we're going to see more things like that. But as far as like real operational changes to either one, now I will say, unfortunately, and Oscar, I know you agree because we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but like, the sad reality is it definitely probably means some layoffs for some people from either company, right? Because anytime you merge massive organizations, you just end up with people that they say, well, those two dudes are doing the exact same job. Like, let's get rid of one of them.
Yeah.
So I do think probably some layoffs coming. But I don't know. What do you guys have any just, like, really resonating thoughts or, like, what it's going
to
mean?
Just to bring it full circle, and I'm furious that this happened in a Mark Raimondi interview, not with us at Media Day. He asked Alex Pereira about the WWE thing, and he went, yeah, it's good. It's what's Israel going to do here after Saturday? He can go over there. Whoa. Where the fuck was that guy?
We were sitting there the whole time like, waiting for our headline.
That's the quote. He said, WWE is a place for Adesanya. What's he going to do here? It's a place for him to go.
Wow.
And I was texting John. I was like, get it. Well, I text both of you. I was like, tell him, just call him a skinny fuck or something.
Yeah, I need a headline. I need a grab.
But yeah, that's... So
right, but I mean, you're not a big like neither one of you guys is a big wrestling guy. Jose Youngs is a big wrestling guy.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big wrestling guy. I think look, man, I find it's in some ways it's a very natural pairing, and in other ways it's not a natural pairing. You know, it's a natural pairing in that they're both entertainment powerhouses. Right. Essentially, they run the same sort of thing: rivalries, big promos, competition in a ring and cage. But where I guess you know, I don't want. I understand that some people get quite indignant about, like, well, MMA's roots are in wrestling. I understand that. It's still okay for people to want them to be separate. You
right.
know? Listen, all it takes is one fucking dodgy decision, and everyone thinks it's work anyway.
Yeah.
Now you're in actually in bed.
Business with
you're in
an actual
in bed
scripted
with a company. You know, scripted thing.
Yep.
You know, this, why give credence to that? You know, so I don't necessarily love that. I also think Vince McMahon suffers from insanity. And while the current narrative that they're spinning is it's going to remain separate, on paper, Vince McMahon is a superior position to Dana White. Dana White's made no secret that Vince is Mr. Alpha Male and loves fucking swinging his dick around in more ways than one. But he likes, you know, but I just don't believe there's a world where Vince doesn't think, I'm going to fucking get in there and show Dana what to do, you know? So I think there's a lot of ego. For me, as a fan, I would just like them to remain very separate. You know, that's what.
Now, Dana's always had a lot of respect for Vince, at least publicly.
Dana likes Vince.
But
and
do you think now that they're under the same umbrella, there might end up being some weird clashes or something at some point?
Well, no, I think.
Well, I know under the same umbrella, though. You know what I mean? Like maybe all of a sudden Dana's like taking shots, or I mean, he never has.
I don't think they'll take shots, but I also don't think Dana's been told. I don't think Vince has ever had the authority to call Dana and tell him to do something before. I don't imagine that phone conversation doing very well. I don't know. I think there it makes sense for them to be some crossover. But also, I don't give a fuck. Like, would you care if like Jamal Hill's in a WWE ring? I'm just like, ugh. I'm like, whatever. You know, the WWE fans wouldn't care about that. UFC fans wouldn't care about that. They're separate audiences.
I mean, so obviously, like in the early days of MMA. And I've said this before, that I liked the fact that the UFC differentiated their product, right? They went away with big walk-ins. You know, they wanted the product to look different because they wanted to make sure people realized that this is real fighting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think there's anybody on earth that doesn't understand that the UFC is not real fighting. But you do bring up an interesting thing that, like, could it switch
I
back?
I still see every once in a while, everything, still see comments. Yeah. And this only opens up the door for that to just get exacerbated even more. Mm. Like, we're going to hear it right and left. People are going to say,
the writers. That's what the writers are doing,
right,
or whatever.
I mean, especially when they start advertising on the same platform. When they start advertising a scripted show on a live broadcast or vice versa, people are going to associate the product.
As someone who covers, you know? As someone who covers support, my immediate sort of like, ugh, I don't want to be doing fucking joint media days. Like, I don't want to have it where, like, they bring fighter, wrestler, fighter.
Well, that's the thing. They better not expect us to play the game. That's the thing. Like, you know, every media that was there that night at WrestleMania played the game. Don't share a media day and expect us all to jump in and play the game, because that's a crock of shit, you know?
Yeah. I don't cover wrestling.
Right.
I barely cover slap. But yeah. Dana White does slap, so I'm like, okay, well, there's my credence there.
It's just crazy. But, I mean, even when Endeavor first bought the UFC, everybody thought there was going to be broad sweeping changes, and there really wasn't. Endeavor said, we understand. You know what you're doing. You're a product. You got it. Keep doing your thing.
Right.
I see the same thing, for the most part, happening with the
WWE. It would be silly to change it, right? Why would you change a winning formula?
It's winning. There was a reason why you wanted to buy that company. You didn't because you're like, I'm going to buy it because I can make it do it better.
Look,
you bought it because it was an investment. It's growing. It's doing its thing. Like, is there some crossover? Probably. I mean, maybe there'll be some lean on things, but the staff's already busy to the end. Like, the UFC staff, production staff can't take on anymore. I'm sure the WWE staff's busy and can't take on anymore. I think they're just going to say, guys, keep doing you. Don't worry about this thing. This is just an overall fundamental thing where Endeavor wants to make money and possibly help do whatever, blah, blah, blah.
I just feel bad for the staff, man, because, like, we have a level of uncertainty of, like, oh, fuck. Is International Fight Week going to be, like, fucking WrestleMania week now, you know, like, those sort of things.
It would be cool for the meet and greet, for fan meet and greet. Like, why not have WWE personalities?
You shouldn't, but also, you know, it's not like rich people don't do dumb shit because they think some guy bought Twitter for $44 billion. You know, like, they fucking do weird shit sometimes. So I hope not. But I actually, my first reaction was the sympathy for the staff, because they have to do so much work.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they just work power slap as well. Like, if they turn around to the half the UFC and, like, you have to also do WWE stuff too, it's like, fuck, that's so much.
I think it might be hiring, in fact,
to do that.
Both WWE and the UFC are, at the end of the day, they're media creation companies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Content, like, that's content creation.
It's content creation. It's selling hours, right? And I mean, you know,
and they're the best at what they do in their fields.
That's it. So that's why I think they're just going to bundle them together for, like, advertising opportunities and promotion opportunities. But I don't think the operations. I honestly, again, could be wrong, but I think you touched on it, Kenny, when you said, like, they didn't really, you know, they said it wasn't going to change, and the UFC hasn't really changed that much.
Nothing changed after Endeavor. Like, nothing that we see on the day-to-day.
It was funny.
Maybe
that
something bigger on that bigger level with Dana actually had somebody to answer to. You know, it wasn't talking to just Frank and Lorenzo, and it wasn't just him. Now he has somebody he has to answer to, and I think that's the big changes, you know?
I think, I remember when Endeavor bought it, oh, well, now they're going to create all these crazy, stupid matchups to get their money back. Not really.
Never did.
And now they're going to, the same narrative's coming out, oh, they're going to, like, I mean, Colby's getting a shot at Leo, you know, but it's always the same, really. Yep.
That's kind of from a positive perspective, I'd say, because nothing changed. But even take it from a negative perspective, where people are like, oh, bro, with Endeavor, can you imagine the type of, like, movie opportunities and television opportunities? Like,
not really.
Not really, right? Not really.
Yeah. Actually, you've not really seen any of that.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, it's.
I think the day-to-day people aren't going to notice any major change. They're just, I mean, why mess up something that's working? Like, is somebody clearly looking at the WWE and saying, oh, yeah, man, that's kind of a broken ship. We really need to go in there and revamp it.
I mean, no. You got to say, by the way, Vince McMahon, what an old dog, huh?
Yeah.
Fucking dumb for sexual assault or whatever. Takes a 3-month vacation. Comes back. Gets a raise. Gets a new job. Man.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how ingratiated that dude was in that company. To even be able to have that an option, he made that company. I mean, he made it so he cannot be easily removed from that thing. And I think that's the only real reason why he's still in the picture. Because do you need Vince to make this happen? No, I don't think you do.
No, but they had multiple offers, and he only chose the one that had him still involved.
Yeah.
The others were like, we don't need you to stay
around. And that's what I'm saying. Like, the fact that he even had a say in it is just ridiculous. Like that's what you get when
you're on
good.
A company, damn it. Yep.
You amazing. Can't get rid of me.
Amazing. Amazing.
I do look forward to the idea of him coming in and telling Dana like how to promote.
So I forget.
You got Israel. He's not dancing. The guy could dance. Get him out there and dance.
I forgot when they did the valuation. Who was the A side of the two?
Well, technically, because they said it was like a $21 billion valuation. Right. They said the UFC was valued was 12? At $12
billion. Okay,
so they have the UFC valued more. But honestly, yeah. In the language, it does feel like WWE is the bigger brother. Because
right?
They have designated board seats that the UFC doesn't have.
Right?
But I assume that's because Vince demanded that for
that's
themselves.
What I'm saying. Like, that dude has... He knows how to work shit in the to contracts and stuff.
The only thing he doesn't know how to do is wear a fucking moustache, dude. Looks like a fucking circus villain.
He does.
That's
doesn't
what
you he? Do when you're filthy rich. Yeah. You look like a filthy dog.
He looks like a fucking psycho.
I've got to poison the water supply. And they'll all pay.
That mustache.
Yeah, that seriously. Mustache. Seriously.
Amazing. Amazing. All right, we'll see how that all plays out. All right, UFC 287, it's Saturday night. Absolutely cannot wait for it. Main card is stacked. I think the main event is incredible, and I am looking forward to it. Of course, we'll have you covered. Appreciate everybody over at patreon.com/StayMadeRoadshow for the support over there. We'll have a half episode once that all wraps up, and I think we'll have a lot to talk about come Saturday night. In the meantime, I think we need to enjoy this beautiful panoramic view from the
beautiful
penthouse
Miami.
With a couple of frosty beverages.
Get
and
some food. Some Cubano food, maybe, or something.
Jorge Masvidal had all the recommendations.
Something.
Yeah. Let's go do that. Everybody else, thanks for listening.